and also why it is that good things happen. And I'm maybe just going to reflect on that briefly. First of all, people say, oh, you were brave, you went to the war zone, there were bullets and bombs. And yes, in fact, I remember in Bosnia, literally on the second day I arrived, some snipers tried to kill my colleague and I because we were investigating atrocities in a village. And in a war zone, you see people dying, and it becomes normal, normalized. And you may be walking and a bomb will hit you and you will die. And it becomes, at some point, you accept it as part of life. So in Sarajevo, during the war, people would wake up in the morning, they would take their children to school, they would go to buy groceries, they would go to their offices in the middle of war. And maybe crossing this place called Sniper's Alley, maybe a sniper bullet will kill you. Maybe a mortar shell would land in the street and you would be killed by shrapnel. And that became normalized. So there is physical danger, but the psychological harm is far greater and it's invisible. So in my day, nobody was really talking about PTSD and all of these things. The United Nations would just send us out there and, you know, no one had really begun to understand how serious psychic injury can be. Mm-hmm. Far worse than, you know, I don't know, even getting a bullet wound, if as long as it doesn't kill you, you can mend, you can heal. Mm-hmm. So the psychic injuries are lasting. And we know this, the reference that you made to the experience of our indigenous brothers and sisters, the residential schools, the generations of harm which take a long time to heal, and it takes deliberate effort to heal. You don't just end up healing. You need to, in a kind of therapeutic process, address the wounds, confront them, as ugly and painful as they may be, and you need to accept and embrace them, in fact, to be able to transcend them. So in this regard, spirituality is very important. And I don't think I would have survived without spirituality, because spirituality allows us to tap into that very deep place within our soul, mm-hmm. to discover our real self, not all the superficial identities that we have in our professional or social or other contexts, the superficial selves, but the true self. So it can also be a blessing. Sometimes that suffering forces you to dig deep within yourself to understand who you really are. So just as I've seen a lot of suffering, I've also seen the astonishing resilience of the human spirit. And sometimes mediocrity is the worst death. Having an empty, meaningless life, which is what I see, frankly speaking, in our North American bubble. Mm-hmm. Emptiness, people who in this culture of materialism, instant gratification, are consuming more and more, but they're less and less happy. We have anxiety, we have depression, we have stress. So spirituality actually is very important in being able to transform your suffering into something beautiful, like the phoenix rising from the ashes. Mm. So that goes back to the sort of the no pain, no gain expression, which doesn't quite capture it so eloquently. But at the end of the day, pain is part of life. Mm-hmm. Knowing is painful. In particular, knowing that so much of what we attach our hearts to is just transient. It's dust in the wind. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. But we can either become bitter, resentful, self-destructive. The Buddhists have a saying that anger is like drinking poison to kill your enemy, right? Mm-hmm. So learning to transcend your own anger, your own trauma, is not only a profound act of self-preservation, but it's part of the process of becoming human, of realizing our true potential. And this brings me to why it is that we have evil in the world, but also we have good. We have to remember that there's good and evil. Mm-hmm. In war zones, I've seen the depths of deprivation and cruelty that human beings are capable of, but I've also seen heroic compassion and sacrifice, neighbors saving neighbors in the middle of war, and so many acts of humanity, random acts of kindness. So we have this duality, and we have to understand that we're capable both of living in this incredibly dark space, but also we're capable of shining the light and making a dark world brilliant. And the question is, how do we tap into that potential? That, I think, is an existential question. Mm-hmm. Not just in a world filled with genocide and atrocities, but also in a world beset with climate change, which I will turn to shortly, because climate change is a reflection of consumer capitalism, our materialistic civilization, which tells us that progress in the pursuit of happiness is about accumulation of wealth and consuming more and more, as opposed to living in community with others, living in harmony with nature, which is why I turn very often to inspiration to our indigenous cultures and their understanding of that dimension of you're not at the center of the universe. You're part of the universe and an insignificant speck in an infinite universe. So just a couple of quick thoughts. One is, there is an expression that the Holocaust did not begin in the gas chambers. It began with words. Words that dehumanize and demonize the intended victims. Because it's a basic aspect of human empathy that we need to learn to harm others. It doesn't necessarily come natural to us. So if you look at the Holocaust, if you look at Rwanda, Yugoslavia, and all these other conflicts, they have always been preceded by incitement to hatred and violence. Getting back to what you said about radio station in Rwanda, RTLM radio, in a country where 70% of the people were living, well, were illiterate, 90% were living in rural areas. Their only source of information was the radio. This is 1994, long before the internet. So if every day over that radio, which people listen to as if it were the Bible, the gospel, you tell them the Tutsis, which were the minority, are cockroaches and they must be exterminated, well, then you dehumanize them, you reduce them to cockroaches. The Nazis referred to the Jews as vermin, as lice. So killing them was like a delicing operation. You dehumanize them. You rationalize and normalize exterminating an entire race of people. And it may not always be that extreme, but we can also, in less extreme circumstances, we exploit others, we commit injustice, there is racism, there is economic inequity. And in every circumstance, those who are benefiting, those who are in power, will find some excuse, some way of, if you like, sanitizing unpleasant realities, inconvenient truths, by saying, well, that's the way the economic system functions, well, it's their own fault or whatever, because indifference is the easier path. It takes effort to have empathy. It takes effort to say, why her and not me? Why should I have such a comfortable life, whereas this family cannot food on the table for their children in a world of plenty? And I would just end by saying that just as radical evil takes a lot of effort, you need to teach people to hate, you need to teach them how to be violent, you need to create a bureaucracy, a system, hand out weapons, prepare lists of those to be killed, or whatever the system is that causes this inequity, we also have the capacity for tremendous good. It gets back to the wonderful work that you're doing, inspiring people, asking questions, which force us to go outside of our comfort zone. And we typically have two conditions, none of which is particularly good. One of them is despair, where we just feel overwhelmed by all that we see in the world. We don't realize our own potential. We become depressed. We retreat into a corner. We engage in substance abuse or whatever it is to kill the pain, because we don't know how to deal with the pain. Or if our life is good, we become complacent and selfish and indifferent. It's not my problem. I'm fine. My life is fine. So both of those conditions are conditions in which we fail to understand the power of our spiritual self. Mm-hmm. Getting back to what you said about Counselor Fari, whoever this wonderful person is, bless them.
Yeah.
I think, once again, that I'm been inspired greatly by the sense of the sacred and the spiritual in indigenous cultures. And I think our mainstream so-called civilization, which is destroying the planet through climate change, literally destroying the planet, creating conditions where if we continue this way of life, we will face mass extinction and the collapse of civilization, needs now to listen to those voices of those who were once the victims of colonialism, who were discredited or dehumanized as savages, uncivilized, and all of this nonsense, the legacy of which many people around the world are dealing with as they reclaim their humanity, reclaim their identity. When I go to the UN conferences on climate change, which occur every year, it's incredible to see how people are turning to the spiritual leadership of indigenous peoples to gain, to get inspiration on how do we live in harmony with nature, which is no longer just a question of a feel-good activist who's a tree hugger, you know, because that's what the powerful people will say. Oh, yeah, look at these people. They're all, yeah, they're the environmentalists and they're the troublemakers. And they don't understand how the world really functions with industry and profit and progress and whatever it is. Well, guess what? That whole system is about to collapse under the weight of its own contradictions and ignorance. And in that collapse, there may be a lot of concern because the world is violent, it's confusing. But at the same time, there's a huge, immense opportunity for reimagining the world and for having voices that have been on the margins, voices that were ignored, discredited, reduced to, you know, people who have nothing to contribute, people who need to be civilized, they need to be assimilated into our culture because their own culture has no value. Now the tables are turning. And now people are going to say, how do we live in community with each other? How do we live in harmony with nature? Because if we don't, we won't survive. We will self-destruct.
Beautiful. Okay, that was pretty heavy stuff. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I know all our listeners out there are just out of their minds right now. So we're gonna take a quick little break and we'll be right back. All right, the powerful words of Dr. Akvan. Coming up next, we have the son of Shkwait Shekhlech, and this is TML Allen, Dancing Queen. Stay tuned, listening. Mm-hmm. Bye, and we'll be back. was Dancing Queen, TML Allen. And that was the pick of the week of Shkwait Shakhlakh, my brother. For people that don't know him, he's my brother from Gwaishkana, BC. He's a survivor of Guillain-Barré syndrome, lymphoma cancer, the big forest fires of a few years ago, and also the big flood of a few years ago. So he's a really big inspiration to myself and many other people out there. And we have him on the line with us, and we're trying to motor a lawn. So we'd love to hear from you on New Year's resolution.
Whenever I hear New Year's resolutions, I think of the lawn-retired comic character Calvin answering his best buddy Hobbes' question about resolutions. Resolutions? Me? Just what are you implying? That I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I am perfect the way I am. I think of that, and my ego deflates, because I know I'm not perfect. You know, I start off thinking I'm going to hold resolutions. You know, I each year I try to live up to being more friendly, more approachable, and less judgmental of others. But, you know, our egos tend to inflate as the year progresses, so I just think of that all the time. Mm-hmm. Let my head deflate a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we need the resolutions to try to keep us on the straight and narrow. And, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what I have.
Yeah, well, that was a great analogy, and that's pretty awesome to think of that. You know, we should all deflate our heads once in a while. I know I need to all the time. Otherwise, my hats don't fit. But yeah, thank you so much for your upbeat music and just your input to our program here. We really enjoy it and we love it. And we're looking forward to hearing from you again next week.
Okay. Yeah, thank you guys for your well wishes, thoughts, and prayers, and love. I send it all back to you there at the station and abroad. Mm. 1,000-fold.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. So, yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing from you again. And have a great week and rest of your day. And bye for now.
Bye for now.
All right, that was Shkwait Shakhlakh. And we're going to carry on our program as quickly as possible. We're going to get to Lady Fima coming up next. We got a song for her called from Tetsui Rajasthani Soul. So let's have a listen to that. We'll be right back. Enjoy, everyone. That's Tatsui Rajasthani soul music, and we're playing that for Lady Fima, and we have her on the line right now. We're going to pause it and we'll replay the rest of it after. So we have Lady Fima. Thank you for joining us, Lady Fima.
Hello, Chief. Thank you so much for having me. My warmest Happy New Year to each one of you in the team. Simon Fraser University, a student, wonderful student, and the rest of the other students in the province and across the country and outside of the country as well.
Yes, we have our subject today, and it's on New Year's resolution. So we'd love to hear from you on some.
Yes, the New Year's resolution. Yes, for me, I just have to focus more exercise, and the swimming is just, I'm so connected with the water. I think sometime in my life I was supposed to become a fish.
Maybe
I'm so relayed, you know, I really enjoy the water. Mm. And this is for me that I have to focus, because my habit of the food basically is not bad. I'm vegetarian. Kind of vegetarian. And going back to the other part of me, and just what can I do to bring the differences on this Mother Earth, to invite more artists, comedian, in the international level, and I don't mention their name yet, and more authority of any side of any country, to invite them and engage their talent, their studies, and their success with the free voices at this station, at this unique station, that it brings a lot of diversity. And I really enjoy that diversity, because for me it's like I feel I'm growing every day.
Beautiful.
And the beauty of this one is this diversity is just, we work side by side in the very humble way, and I am just so privileged in that unique part. Dr. Payam Akhavan, he's the world achiever, and he was kindly accepted our invitation and came down to the studio. We really rock with him. We really dance in the spirit with him, because we learned so much. Mm. And he was kind enough to allow me to continue this visitation and interview one-to-one at the radio station to be continued. And this is really is a beauty, that as one nation, no matter what background we are, what color we are just as one body, one nation. We walk together, we learn together, and we laugh together. And also choosing that international comedian, because after the COVID, we truly, as a nationwide, we need to laugh. Because that laugh, to bring a positive energy in within us, so we can act our positivity in the thoughts, action, and manner. And not only we are enjoying that part, also the society and the worldwide will benefit. Beautiful. Of this action, basically.
Beautiful.
And thank you very much for having me. And I wish blessing and the peace for the world.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, beautiful and wonderful. We thank you so much for joining us live and sharing your wonderful words of positivity and empowerment. And we're going to have to say bye for now. And just
yes.
Thank you so much. So thank you and bye for now.
Yes, bye for now. Thank you kindly.
All right. That was Lady Fima, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to continue on and finish off the rest of Tatsui Rajasthani soul. And we're going to hear some words from lady, or from the president of Minnetonka Park Association, and on our last minutes here. So go ahead and share what you
have. Oh, you got it in the background there. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think the thing about the New Year's resolutions is that whole point that was made earlier about reflection. It's great to look back on the year and see what were the highlights, lowlights, learnings. At least this is how I like to do things. And then saying, what's important to me for this year in terms of what service do I want to bring, or what experiences do I want to create or be part of, and the people and relationships. So I love that whole part of using reflection. And I think that as a regular practice through the year will help tack the boat through the whole year, the sailboat.
Beautiful and wonderful. Thank you so much.
Slide into home plate.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us listening to our program. Come back next Thursday and listen to us again at CDSF 90.1 FM. This is Khwayin Shakhlak, Free Voices, and all of us here at Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. Thank you. Enjoy.